everyone, and welcome to The Morning Drive. My name is Donna Todd Rivers, and I'll be with you for about the next 58 minutes. You're listening to us at WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's Community Radio. You are also watching us on PCTV. It's channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial, and you can always catch up with this show or any other show, Morning Drive show, on pittsfieldtv.org. I'm excited about this show. This is a topic that's really close to my heart and the work that I'm doing now in the community. With me is Shauna Dandy. She is the manager of the Alzheimer Association Walk to End Alzheimer's, working both in the Pioneer Valley and here in Berkshire County. And a good friend of mine, Patricia Janchuk, who's the director of admissions and marketing at Mount Greylock Extended Care Facility. And in the course of this conversation, representing the Berkshire Alzheimer Partnership. So ladies, thank you for welcoming, for being here with today. I hope you're having a good day today.
We are. Thank you so much for having us. Such important work.
Right? It's an incredible conversation to have. And I think it's really becoming more and more on the forefront of people's minds. I think we're hearing more and more that our loved ones and friends and family and people that we know are getting these diagnoses. So I just want to take a minute kind of to start with you, Shauna, if you don't mind terribly. If you can just tell us, what exactly is Alzheimer's in dementia and how those two words kind of work together?
Sure, absolutely. So, yeah, so Alzheimer's and dementia are really just, they're not normal aging. It's essentially having a cognitive impairment and having forgetfulness, but not your typical forgetfulness, you know, trouble just remembering things or just functioning on a day-to-day basis. And it's due to two different types of plaques kind of building up in your brain, the amyloid plaques and also the tau proteins. So there's a lot of more research coming out about that, but it is not a normal part of aging. And so dementia is really the umbrella term. A lot of times I get a question or there's a common misconception about the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia, but dementia is really the umbrella term, or a great way to think of it is kind of like ice cream. So Alzheimer's is just one form of dementia. So essentially almost like vanilla ice cream, it might be the most popular flavor, the one we tend to hear about maybe the most sometimes, but there's all other flavors and other types of dementia as well. There's frontal temporal, there's vascular dementia, Lewy body dementia, and, you know, several others as well. So there are all different types. So dementia really is, again, the leading umbrella term, but it really encompasses, you know, more than just one kind, more than just Alzheimer's. And just to stress too, at the Alzheimer's Association, despite our name mentioning Alzheimer's, we do, you know, we're here to support anyone that's facing dementia of any kind. So it doesn't have to be just Alzheimer's. It can be any of those forms of dementia, and anyone is eligible to use our resources and our support, and we're here to help.
So glad you brought that analogy of the ice cream cone, because I've heard that one, because that's because you've taught me that one, which I think is really interesting. And I've also heard the one about sort of the umbrella, that dementia is sort of the umbrella that underneath it is all these other. So really, when you think about it, I guess the best way to think about it is dementia is sort of a term that refers to a range of symptoms affecting cognitive abilities. And then under that is the actual diseases, and Alzheimer's being one of the diseases that affects cognitive ability. But you mentioned there's several others as well, but they all sort of have in common that cognitive, that shift in cognitive ability, and,
right,
and how it's happening. Each disease is a little bit different, if you will, right?
Right.
I actually heard a woman recently, actually within the last 2 weeks, which is interesting, explain it sort of like dementia is the mom and there's all these daughters. And the daughters are sort of the diseases, so why they're related and they have things in common, but they're all uniquely different, like every daughter's uniquely different. So,
oh yeah, that's a great analogy too.
Right? But there's all kinds of different ways to sort of understand this, because I think people sometimes confuse the two. Someone has said to me recently, well, my father has dementia, and I said, well, what is causing it? And they go, and they, it was sort of like, they didn't kind of know the, you know, if it was Alzheimer's or Lewy body or Parkinson's or, so what is the difference between dementia and normal aging and what we might see in normal age, cognitive changes in normal aging?
Sure. Another reference I kind of use a lot too is it's, you know, I think everyone starts to panic a little bit because when you start to get a little bit forgetful, it can be a little bit scary. But sometimes it's not, like, for example, you know, losing your keys, like, oh, where did I put my keys? You know, that's not so much the concern. It's more like if you're forgetting what your keys do, like if you have your keys in your hand and you're not sure how to connect the dots of what the keys are for and what those go to do. So it's kind of just a little bit in that more like functioning and like reasoning. That's kind of where the impairment comes in. And that can be, you know, some of the causes of concern.
No, Patty, when you talk to families in your work, do you find that there's sort of this misunderstanding between like dementia and Alzheimer's, and how do you sort of weed that piece out for people?
Well, it's interesting. I think what you had mentioned, Donna, is the way it really is. Families just hear the word dementia, but I don't think that they, you know, it's such a life-changing diagnosis for a loved one or for themselves. So I don't know that they necessarily are savvy on what type it is. So it is pretty interesting to me that they'll say, oh, my mom has dementia. And it's not until you start asking more questions, you know, did they have Parkinson's? Could it be Lewy body? Maybe they had a stroke. Maybe it's frontal temporal. So I think it really takes a little bit of, you know, detective work with families. But I do agree that I don't know that they always are aware of all of the differences and the different types. But I do like that analogy of the ice cream cone and the mother-daughter thing. I'm going to have to use that when I explain it to people.
Well, I think, you know, I think it's so important because it can be really scary. And I think sometimes when you're in that point of being, you know, frightful and concerned, that sometimes you can't hear all the jargon. But if you can identify right. with something that you can take home with and say, okay, now I kind of get it. Because even within the industry, sometimes I hear people sort of confuse the terminology. Which is kind of interesting. But the one thing that's really important is why we're doing this show today is because there are resources out there, and we're going to talk about those throughout the show today with Alzheimer's Association and with the Berkshire Partnership to really help people understand and navigate this really, I don't even know if it's, I don't want to call it a landmine, but it's sort of just, it embraces everyone, right? Not just the person with a diagnosis, but it embraces everyone around them. But before we do that, I just want to ask you, Shauna, how's the narrative starting to change and the stigma breaking around Alzheimer's and dementia?
Sure. So I think it's really been an interesting thing to see, you know, probably in the last like even year or so. Last year, the first FDA approved medication for the actual treatment of Alzheimer's and dementia was released for the first time ever, which is just incredible. And that kind of has been, you know, made across national news. So chances are most people have heard about that, which is really encouraging to see some of the progress. And I think that even with more recently, like it's being scripted into TV shows more and movies more. There's celebrities that have come forward, you know, like Bruce Willis and Wendy Williams. So it's really encouraging to see that people are feeling more comfortable to step forward because, you know, I think it just in the past, there was just such a stigma and no one felt comfortable talking about it. And there was also just wasn't a lot of research and knowledge that was available, which that has also changed. So I think people who have been receiving a diagnosis are feeling more empowered. You know, they're not afraid to share. And that's just a really beautiful thing because, you know, it's not just the end of the road. Like there can be so much, you can have an empowered and successful life and experience, even living with the disease. So I think the stigma has been breaking a little bit and people have felt more comfortable to come forward and it's being talked about more, which is a really beautiful thing.
No, I agree. Patty, you've been in the industry a very long time and experience in all of this. Are you finding the conversations are getting easier and there's not so much stigma around it?
I do believe that is the case. I think back, you know, as Shauna was just talking, I actually was kind of thinking back to when my grandmother, she was my first real experience with someone with dementia. And that was back in the 1980s. And I can remember watching my father and his siblings deal with it. And it, you're right. It was almost like a stigma. You didn't want anybody to know. Don't tell them about Nani, you know, and you can see it sort of evolving to this day. I think with all of the work of the Alzheimer's Association and like Shauna mentioned, you know, it's being scripted into real life, right? So people are getting more used to the terminology and to seeing people with it. And I think now people are more at ease and more open to saying that they or their loved ones have dementia. You know, we have a family member that visits here and I find it very empowering for her. She's suffering, she's living with early onset dementia and she'll visit. And sometimes she'll forget things and she'll stop at the desk and say, she'll ask another question and she'll kind of chuckle and say, you know, I know I'm asking you this again, but I'm living with dementia. And she's like, and sometimes I forget these things. But she says it as part of it with acceptance. And it's really amazing to see, but how full her life is. She's not hiding. She's not staying home or not relying on someone else to take her somewhere. She's living her life and looking for the cues from the community as she needs them. And it's just amazing. And I think, like Shauna mentioned, people are just really having such a fullness to their life now, where before I think they would hide.
And I think that's part of the message I wanted to get out there today, is that the diagnosis isn't a quality of life, that you can have a quality life. I mean, there are several stages of the disease, and like any disease, it does progress to the point where there are some, you know, legitimate concerns and end of life questions. But through the course of the disease, and especially if you have an early diagnosis and early onset, you really can sort of adopt your life and work through your life with this. I have two friends, actually, very dear friends, both with early onset, which, in my professional career, it's something that I work with every day, but not to have it hit so close to home. And I'm still, deep relationships with these people. And it's interesting to be on that side of it, not being the provider anymore, the healthcare professional, but now being somebody in their world. It's kind of interesting. If you're just joining us right now, I'm glad you're here. Hopefully you can stay with us for the entire conversation. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. I'm your host this morning for Morning Drive. You're listening to us at WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's Community Radio. You're also watching us on PCTV channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. With me today are two great guests. We're having a great conversation about Alzheimer's Association. With me is Shauna Dandy. She is with the organization. She's the manager of the Walk to End Alzheimer's, both here in Pioneer Valley and here in Berkshire County. And Patty Janchuk, she is the director of admissions and marketing at Mount Greylock Extended Care Facility, but she's also the co-chair of the Berkshire Alzheimer's Partnership. And we just spent the first section just talking about what Alzheimer's and dementia is, and really how the landscape and the stigma is sort of breaking and changing around these two diseases. Shauna, do you have any 2024 facts and figures about Alzheimer's and what's particularly happening locally in the Berkshires?
Sure, yes. So each year the Alzheimer's Association releases an updated facts and figures report, and it kind of just gives an updated, updated numbers, updated statistics on the Alzheimer's and dementia crisis. So we did just get the updated 2024 information a few weeks ago and learned a few things. So last year with our 2023 data, it was estimated that 6 million Americans were living with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia. That has since increased to 7 million Americans as of this year. So as you can see, quite a jump just in the matter of really 365 days. And then to kind of dial that down, even just to the state of Massachusetts, we went from 130,000 people living with Alzheimer's or another form of dementia last year to 135,200 people this year. So 5,200 people just in our state alone between last year and this year. I don't have the updated numbers yet for 2024 on specifics to Berkshire County, but as of last summer, when we did get some numbers, it was estimated that 10.9% of seniors age 65 or older just in Berkshire County alone were facing a diagnosis. So as you can see, I mean, this is just something that's not just a nationwide issue and not just a global issue, but it's happening right here in our state and right here in our backyard of Berkshire County. So the need is definitely there. People are stressed. Not only is this a disease that is affecting the person that's been diagnosed, but it really takes a village, and it takes a toll on the village of people in that person's life as well. So family, friends, neighbors, anyone in the local community that's supporting them. So, it's just something that is really deserving of attention. And it's something that's also really difficult to navigate. And that's what we're learning at the association with this updated data as well, is that caregivers are stressed and, need help with navigating the system, of where to go with resources and how to navigate healthcare. Alzheimer's and dementia, it kills more than those with breast cancer or prostate cancer combined, which that fact always sticks with me because it's just, it's just such an incredible, staggering statistic. So I definitely like to share that too. You know, it's definitely a crisis that needs attention.
Those numbers absolutely blow my mind. And that jump and that increase over one calendar year. So, you know, when I first hear it, the first thought I have is, well, obviously the baby boomers, there's, you know, we're having more seniors entered sort of those age groups, and we're having more seniors. I see, and I'm sure Patty sees it, living longer. You know, where people's lifespans, it's not unusual now to meet somebody in their 90s and their and really in hundreds, you know, 103, 104, no longer is like surprising anymore. If you deal with elders, you'll run into those. So I think that's part of it, maybe that people are living longer. I also think maybe a little bit more, we're getting better at earlier diagnostics. I think we're seeing that more. I've been talking to even my friends who are getting, you know, yearly physicals, and now they're going through cognitive testing, which really you didn't hear much about, you know, until you were in your maybe 80s. Patty, are you seeing those increases in numbers, or how did you feel about hearing those numbers?
Well, it's pretty staggering to hear that almost 11% just alone in Berkshire County. And, you know, what is very concerning, at least for us who live here, is that we all know Berkshire County is aging. And, you know, so the median age of our county is really increasing. And many of the people that are suffering with dementia, you know, if they're over 65, many of us that live here, our children have moved on to other areas, whether it's within the state or elsewhere. So, you know, the local contacts that you might have to help care for someone that has dementia is really, at least in my personal opinion and experience, kind of diminishing. It isn't unusual for us to get calls from people from all over the country, actually. Oh, hi, my mom's still in Pittsfield. That's our hometown. But I live in Nevada, or I'm out in Idaho, or I live in Boston, and she needs more help. And so I look back to, you know, if I look back to my grandmother, she had all of us here, children, all of her grandchildren. But that really isn't the way of life anymore. So we're looking at 11% of our already aging population suffering with dementia, with limited more family resources. Although, you know, I'm sure Shauna will tell us more about what the Alzheimer's Association itself can supply as far as resources, which is wonderful, because it is a great support and it is greatly needed. But we definitely do see there are just so many more people that are looking for help for their loved ones with dementia.
Patty, you brought up an incredible point that I hadn't really thought about. You know, I experienced it, but you articulate it so incredibly clearly. But there, it really has been a societal shift. And because of that, we are seeing a stronger need and a bigger need right here in Berkshire County for support for folks who have these diagnoses, because a lot of family, you know, is not there to provide it. And the family that is here providing it, it is just, it's a journey. It's a journey for them as well as for those with a diagnosis. There's no easy way to say that. They are, you know, walking step by step with these folks through that diagnosis, which I guess kind of brings us to the really great question, which is, you know, we're in this era right now where there's some new exciting and innovative areas of treatment. And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's been wonderful to see progress being made in regards to research and early detection and brain healthy habits and, you know, treatment. But it's really just the start. I mean, we're just starting to tip the iceberg as far as research and about prevention and, you know, hopefully a cure and more medication. So, you know, there was, again, as I mentioned, some really exciting progress that came out last summer with one of the first FDA approved medications to actually treat the cause of the disease and not just the symptoms, which is really, really encouraging. And, you know, the Alzheimer's Association has an international research conference that does take place every year. And so some of the things that we learned about out of last summer's conference is that there's some really exciting stuff that is in the pipeline as well. So additional medications that might even have a higher efficiency rate, and also talk about maybe a blood test that might be able to help detect early signs of the disease too. And I think that's just really important to know, is just how to stress, you know, how important it is to have the conversation early and, you know, have the earlier detection, because for the first time, there's actually, you know, some things you can do about it. You're not just getting a diagnosis and being sent home. You know, there's more to have, more conversation to have surrounding that. So
No, and I think there's a large need for that research. I mean, there's so much science now with biomarker and genetic detection that I think that's sort of the way the research is going, because historically, the diagnosis of Alzheimer's and dementia really has been documented based on cognitive decline, right? Someone's watching, you know, their grandmother over time sort of keep declining and declining and declining, and then they're calling their primary care doctor and saying, we've seen this decline. And our diagnosis was really coming out of those observations. And then, of course, your standard, you know, MRI and your, you know, CT scans and your PET scans were sort of showing the diagnosis. But the thing was, we already had so much brain damage that was occurring. So I think these new scientific methods of detection and treatment, I think it's going to change the landscape for everyone. I really do.
Yes. And even having to, as you were mentioning earlier, like having starting to have that conversation, like in your primary care physician's office, you know, that's something that I think the association is going to kind of prioritize to kind of bring to the forefront more, you know, in the future is, you know, having more conversations again earlier on, you know, when you're going to your primary care for your annual physical, you know, a lot of times now you're having conversations about mammograms or colonoscopies. So, you know, just to start the conversation about, you know, your cognitive ability just in your yearly physical would just be a great thing to start doing.
And, I tell people, although I say it too, but not to be fearful of those conversations. Because a lot of times people are, you know, people make jokes, oh, you know, they keep forgetting things as they're aging, and they're self-diagnosing themselves, you know, saying, oh, I'm going to have dementia. And it puts them in a fear-based place. And I think you're better off just having that conversation, if you will. But it really is amazing. It really is amazing to me, all the work that's being done by the Alzheimer's Association. And locally at the Berkshire, you know, Alzheimer's Partnership, giving those supplies right in the, you know, right on the ground, helping families each and every day going through that, which is where I really want to shift the second half of our conversation. So if we can just sort of hit, Shauna, we have about 7 minutes left before we hit the top of the hour. If you want to share a little bit about the resources that the Alzheimer's Association offers, that would be wonderful.
Absolutely. So, you know, the Alzheimer's Association, again, is here to help. And again, not just anyone facing Alzheimer's or with questions on Alzheimer's, but really any form of dementia as well. So if you take nothing else away from this conversation, just take away our 24/7 helpline number that we offer. It's 1-800-272-3900. And so that's our helpline that we are proud to offer. It's available literally 24/7. You could call it 7 o'clock Christmas morning. Someone is there and you're speaking to us at the Alzheimer's Association, our master's level clinicians, our specialists that are here to help. And it could be not only if you're just in the middle of a crisis, but if you just have a general question or you're just looking for additional information, you know, we're here to help. We're here anytime. So that's definitely the one takeaway. But we also offer care consultations to families as well. And that's another program that we're really proud of. All of these programs and services are available at no cost as well, which is also huge. You know, that's why we do our fundraising by way of the Walk to End Alzheimer's. And we have a ride to end Alzheimer's, a Boston Marathon team that just ran 2 days ago. So, you know, we're raising all these funds, which is what allows the Alzheimer's Association to continue to offer our support and resources to families at no cost. So again, the helpline, you know, we have support groups, education programs. We can come in and offer a research presentation. We do our care consultations, which are available to families to kind of meet with an expert one-on-one and do just different check-ins throughout the process to look into resources and support. So we do a professional conference, we do a family conference. So we offer just all these amazing things. And a lot of that is all available on our website, which is alz.org. And then if you add a backslash and do MANH as the abbreviations for Massachusetts and New Hampshire, that's going to get you to our local chapter with everything a little bit more dialed down.
No, I'm glad you explained that, because I think, well, here we go with the umbrella analogy again, right? So you have the Alzheimer's Association, which is a national organization. And correct. Then you have local area chapters, if you will. I guess, is that the right term? So
yes.
Mass, New Hampshire. And then under that, you have the local partnerships like the Berkshire partnership. Is that correct? Berkshire Alzheimer's partnership. That's sort of how it works.
Yes.
So it's raining down support, right?
Right. Oh, I love that too.
Do you not love that? So it's raining, you know, from the top and kind of top down, all the support is there. And from the bottom up, there's all the support, right? So regardless of where you start, you have support surrounding you, right?
Absolutely.
Which to me is pretty amazing. So Patty, how long have you been with the Berkshire Alzheimer Partnership? How long has that been around?
Well, the partnership was actually formed in 2000 by a group of local healthcare professionals and family members. It was actually a family caregiver that actually was such a strong advocate and was instrumental in creating our partnership. So we have been around now going on our 24th year. And we continue to have a strong presence here in the community. COVID kind of tamped us down for a little bit, but we actually were able to stay together via Zoom, which was wonderful because some groups, you know, unfortunately, I don't think we're able to do that, but we were able to stay strong and we're back now meeting in person and beginning all of our in-person events that we used to hold. So we're quite excited as we look forward into the new year.
Yeah, I think COVID did that to a lot of organizations. It was a really scary time for folks, particularly folks who had this diagnosis or had the condition of pairing and just couldn't get the diagnosis because there really was limited access to healthcare in those conversations. And I think most people during that COVID time really didn't have a lot of support. I mean, the support was there, but it was just a really difficult time. And I think that may be another reason why we're seeing so many of the larger numbers too. I think we're coming out of that COVID cloud, if you will. People are sort of getting the diagnosis and the help and the treatment that they need. So the Berkshire, you mentioned that you meet. So Patty, before we go to the break, you just want to tell folks about how that works?
Sure. So we meet on the second Thursday of every month. We meet at 8:30. Our location varies, but we do have a Facebook page, Berkshire Alzheimer's Partnership, where we post where our meetings are. Anyone is welcome. You don't have to be prepared. You can just come and sit and listen. You can. We talk about what events we're planning, and anybody's input is much appreciated. But no one should feel awkward about it. We're just a group of people that are passionate about this, and invite everyone and welcome everyone.
Who comprises the group primarily, Patty?
Yeah, we are a collaboration. So we still continue to have healthcare professionals, local human services professionals. Sean is part of our group as well, representing the Alzheimer's Association. And currently, we don't have any family members, but we actually have someone who attends. She is living with early onset dementia, as she is able. So it's really very enhancing and wonderful to hear her view on what we're undertaking as part of our goals from her perspective.
That must be incredible. Everyone, if you're just joining us, we are at the top of the hour. You're listening to WTBR 89.7 FM right here on Pittsfield Community Radio. You're also watching us on PCTV, that's Pittsfield Community Television, on channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. If you're just tuning in with us, you are just missed an incredible first half, if I say so myself. If you would like to catch up with that show, you can just go to pittsfieldtv.org, look for Morning Drive, and all the Morning Drive shows will be there, and you can listen to the show in its entirety. And I suggest strongly that you stay with us for the second half. We're just going to take a minute or two right now to introduce you to our underwriters, and we will be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings, and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com. And from Park Square Productions. Park Square Productions provides high-quality video and audio productions for businesses and nonprofit organizations throughout the Berkshires. Find more information about Park Square Productions and what they can do for you at ParkSquareProductions.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. BCC provides access to higher education to everyone in Berkshire County and beyond, offering more than 50 high-quality programs, small class sizes, and an affordable education to help their students of all ages achieve their dreams. At BCC, their middle name is community. And from Tim's Lawn Care, it's almost time for spring cleanups. Tim's Lawn Care can also take care of your landscaping, lawn care, mulching, and more. Tim's Lawn Care, 413-281-4222, and online at timslawncarelandscaping.com.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
And welcome back, everyone. If you're just joining me, my name is Donna Todd Rivers. I'm your host this morning for Morning Drive. I've been with you for about a half an hour. I'll be back with you for another 29 minutes. You're watching us at WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. You're also listening, watching us on PCTV, Channel 1301, Pittsfield Community Television. With me today are two of my favorite guests, and a topic that's really important to me right now. This is Shauna Dandy. She is the manager of the Alzheimer's Association, Walk to End Alzheimer's, both here in the Pioneer Valley and in Berkshire County. And Patty Janchuk, director of admissions and marketing at Mount Greylock Extended Care Facility. And she's also the co-chair of the Berkshire Alzheimer Partnership. And we have been talking about Alzheimer's, the work done by the Alzheimer's Association, the work that's being done by the Berkshire Alzheimer Partnership, and just how the disease is changing its treatment, its diagnosis, and how it's the numbers are just growing right here in Berkshire County. We have almost 11% of our seniors that are being diagnosed with Alzheimer's and dementia here in Berkshire County. So there's a real need for support, and there's a real need for programming, and that's why we're doing this show today, to get some of that information out to you. So Patty, just before we went to the break, you had mentioned the Berkshire Partnership and the folks who attend those meetings. And you said something really interesting. You said you had a woman who was attending who has an early diagnosis. And I think that's incredibly important for us to hear from those who are living with it. And how's it shaping your conversations? Is it making a difference?
I believe her input does make a difference. I mean, certainly as we begin to talk about some of the events that we host and some of the support we try to give, it's always helpful to hear how it's benefiting those that are living with it. But we do a variety of events here in town. Aside from supporting the walk, which of course I'll let Shauna talk about and give us all the wonderful information on that, but we do things like caregiver expos. Some of these things did take a bit of a hiatus during COVID, but we're proud to announce we're bringing them back. Our caregiver expo is set to resume in 2025. So stay tuned. There'll be more and more details coming up about that. And really, the expo is an opportunity for us to bring together vendors, education, and support for those that are caregiving for those living with dementia. So we try to provide them with a room full of resources, whether or not there's a speaker. Sometimes we have a speaker as well on a pertinent topic that will help benefit their lives. So it's a really wonderful opportunity. And also it provides some camaraderie. If you have a room full of people that are caregiving for someone, you see how that sparks conversations, and they really can identify with people that are living in the same lifespan, lifestyle as they are. Caregiving is very hard, as we know. And beginning last year, we revitalized Recognizing the Longest Day. So on the longest day in June, we've partnered with local senior centers across Berkshire County, and we're promoting events with them. So whether it's having a speaker, last year we had a representative from the Alzheimer's Association speak in South County at their senior center. We also were present here in Pittsfield at our senior center, where they did a fundraiser for us and gave us a donation for our walk, which was wonderful. And we also were present at the Adams Senior Center. And so we just supported all of the senior centers with the longest day activities. We're looking to expand that for this year, and we'll have more details about that on our Facebook page, Berkshire Alzheimer's Partnership. And we're also looking to revitalize our Memories in the Making program, which is an art program where people with dementia create artwork that we put as part of our First Friday's Art Walk here in town and actually display that art. And it continues to live on. Not only is it a beautiful day or evening where the artwork is displayed and family and friends can come and see it, as well as the general community, but that artwork, which is beautifully framed, continues to live on and is displayed throughout the county at different businesses. So it's really a way for us to remember and help them be able to have those memories come out. It's amazing what happens when they're doing that artwork, what memories it brings back for them. So those are just a few of the things that we like to really bring to the community, as well as being in support of all the Alzheimer's Association programs that they do here in the county for education.
Now you have quite a big heavy lift there at Berkshire Partnership. You really do. And, you know, yeah, you have a history since, you know, 2000 of doing things. You know, COVID is what COVID was. And now you're coming out of the gate and you're just reinstituting everything and growing. And you have all these ambitions and things you're trying to do. It's interesting to me as I was listening to all the things that you have, you know, in the works and things that you're doing and planning to do and programs you're bringing back. How there really are sort of, it's interesting, there's sort of two clients, if you will, which I think you don't see a lot of times in diseases, right? I think Alzheimer's dementia, I think, produces a need for support for those who are suffering and have the diagnosis. And equally as important, I think this is one of those diseases where you see you really need support for the caregivers.
Absolutely.
Right? It's Patty, you must see it all the time.
Absolutely. Especially in this line of work. I mean, here at our facility, we care for those with dementia, of course. And, you know, it's amazing the families really look to us too for that support. And we're more than happy and willing and able to give that because we recognize that the person that's living with dementia, of course, that is their life, but the families that live with it every day. And the person with dementia changes day to day. So how mom might be today isn't necessarily how mom will be this afternoon or even tomorrow. And helping families and supporting them through understanding those changes is really something that, you know, you have to be able to do well as a professional, because it can be devastating to a daughter when she visits mom or dad for the first time that they don't remember her. And, you know, so it's really our job as professionals to be here to help educate and support them through that.
No, it really is. I think when people have the diagnosis and they go and tell their loved ones are now part of that process. They're part of that. Really, you're part of that disease. You're part of that journey. It's a journey that someone's on. And I find it interesting. There's so much need for education for caregivers. As much as there's education that's needed about the disease and how it's going to affect you and what treatments are available and what diagnoses are available for you, I think there's just as much need for education for caregivers, for them to really understand, you know, how to be in relationship with someone who has the disease, which is not a conversation you have a lot with someone who has maybe cancer. It's sort of like you don't need to be coached about how to be in relationship with
that's
someone.
Right.
And that's huge, right, Patty?
It's very huge. And, you know, I can just give a quick example of my dad when his mom, she had dementia and we had to, you know, did our best to care for her in the home. This was back in the late 1980s. But we did eventually put her in a nursing home, oddly enough, here where I work now at Mount Greylock, which was wonderful. But I remember my dad, he'd visit her every single day after work and he'd always arrive around 3:45, and her room looked out over a beautiful grassy hill, hilly area. And she was an Italian and she started to revert to speaking her native language. But my dad would come home so distraught because he'd say, you know, I'd ask her, what did you have to eat today? Or who visited you? And all she could talk about were the goats. And I said, what goats? And he said, well, when she was a little girl living in Italy, her job was to bring the goats in at night. And so, of course, now it's getting dark and she's looking out at this beautiful hill. And in her mind, her job was to go up that hill and get the goats. Yeah. And so I said to my dad, when you visit her tomorrow, just tell her, hi, mom, I took care of the goats. I put them in the barn.
Exactly.
And, you know, back in that day, my father's like, I can't lie to my mother. And I would chuckle and say, it's not really a lie, but she really is worried about the goats. So reassure her that task is done. And so he would start, he started doing that. And he found she was able to interact with him more in this reality because her reality was taken care of. And so it's those types of things where you really have to practice being where they are, even though sometimes it seems hard, but it really is a benefit to them and it can enhance their personal relationships with people.
It truly is. And Shauna, that must be why you have so many support groups that are being offered, because you must hear about those stories as well.
Yes, absolutely. It's just, it's so difficult, like Patty was saying, to kind of come to terms with and to like have to think outside of the box like that, but it really can make such a huge difference. And, you know, and again, it's navigating this, you know, ever-changing disease that isn't the same one day to the next, and each person is different. So there is definitely a lot to be said for that. And I know some of the education programs that we provide to, you know, some of them are available on our website that you can watch at your leisure just virtually, but we also do a variety of in-person presentations that are sometimes scheduled throughout Berkshire County too. And there's more than just, you know, information about the disease itself, but we have education programs that also speak to communication strategies and about behaviors that, you know, you might see with someone that has the disease as well. So there's all these other things too that you can really learn about. And we're, again, just touching the tip of the iceberg as far as research goes and information goes. There's still so much more. But, you know, it really does make a difference, you know, for caregivers too.
And even, you know, I think about folks who are first responders, right? Mm-hmm. Who have to, you know, get a call to a home and they encounter someone with this diagnosis and just them having the skills to navigate that conversation, right? If someone's in an episode or in a place in their diagnosis where they're not sort of aware of what's happening and they can't answer a question like, you know, what's going on, or how are you feeling, or where's your medication bottle, or, you know, I just think there's so, this is a disease that requires so much education and so much support to the entire community. It really takes a village to help someone navigate this diagnosis. It truly does. And because it takes all of that, it takes funds, which goes to sort of the walk, right, Shauna? So why don't you tell us a little bit about the walks to end Alzheimer's?
Sure. So yes, the Walk to End Alzheimer's is the largest event really worldwide, and for the Alzheimer's Association that raises funds and awareness to provide care, support, and research, you know, towards the disease. So it's definitely an amazing event. It takes place nationwide in over 600 communities. So locally, in our chapter of Massachusetts and New Hampshire, there's 13 walks, and our local one is right here in Berkshire County. So save the date. It's Saturday, October 5th this year. We do it right at the Adams Visitor Center on Hoosac Street. That's kind of our home base for the walk. And so really when you get there, it's a morning event. In the morning, we have, you know, mingling available. We do, you know, we have our sponsors that do have vendor tables and give out information and just fun swag. You can mingle with everyone else from the community. And then we do just a very brief program. Part of what is the pinnacle event of the Walk to End Alzheimer's is the Promise Garden and our Promise Garden flowers. So anyone who's registered for the walk, when they get to the walk day, they get a free flower that they can decorate. And each of the colors, there's different colors on the flowers, each color, you know, representing your tie or your connection to the disease. And you can decorate that. And we do just a beautiful and inspiring, you know, short ceremony right before. And then we kick off the walk. And it's just about a 1.2 miles down the Ashuwatuqaq Rail Trail. And then you just turn around and walk back to the Adams Visitor Center. You can also turn around at any point on the route if you'd like something shorter, or you don't even have to walk at all. You can just come and visit and kind of spend time with us that day. Anyone is welcome, any ability, any age. We see, you know, people coming that are, you know, children and, you know, all the way up to seniors. We have pets come. We had an awesome pet area and dog station last year with little goodies. So it's really open to anyone. We'd love to have you. There's no fundraising requirement and there's no registration fee. So it's literally free to register and you can just come and be part of just a great community event. You know, no one wants to be going through this journey and this disease. But the sad fact is that there are so many people that are all facing it and you don't have to go through it alone. You can come together as a community and just kind of feel a little bit more uplifted, even if it's just for a few hours.
And that is incredibly true. Everyone, if you're just joining us right now, you are listening to Morning Drive right here at WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. You are also watching us on PCTV channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. With me right now, the voice you just heard was Shauna Dandy. She is the manager of the Alzheimer's Association, Walked and Alzheimer's here in Berkshire County. And the other face that you see right there, the voice you're going to hear, is Patty Janchuk. She's our Director of Admissions and Marketing at Mount Greylock Extended Care Facility. She's also the co-chair of the Berkshire Alzheimer Partnership. We have spent the last 45 minutes talking about Alzheimer's Association, Alzheimer here in Berkshire County, the work that's being done, the support that's being offered. And we're just chatting about the walk. So, Shauna, if the walk is such a great fundraiser, how do people help raise funds during that walk if they want to do so?
Sure, absolutely. So there's all kinds of different ways. I definitely love to see the fun put into the fundraising. So we do offer sponsorship opportunities. So any company or any group is welcome to, you know, purchase a sponsorship. You know, we do have various tiers that are available, and that gives you marketing benefits. It also gives you a table under our sponsor tent or our community mission tent the day of the walk. But most of our funds actually come just by way of fundraising. So you can walk as a team, you can register a team, you can walk as an individual. Again, there's no cost to register. But of course, we love if you fundraise. So, you know, some people get really creative with it and do, you know, dress down days for their company. And we can provide you with like casual for a cause stickers if you want to sell those at your place of business, and collect, you know, dress down day funds and put that towards your walk team. You know, some people do all kinds of things, cornhole fundraisers, or, you know, car washes, lemonade stands. I mean, it's all great to do. You know, you're welcome to share it on social media and set up a Facebook fundraiser, or just recruit your friends or family to make donations. You know, any company in Berkshire County, we'd love to have involved. And if you'd like to have a donation box out, or, you know, round up funds at the checkout, you know, anything is really an open option, because it's just all so important. It, again, is raising funds, and it's also just raising awareness, and it's bringing the conversation to light in our local backyard. And it's just helping so many people.
That's true. Actually, I can tell you, I have actually taught several paint and sips. Where the money was used by certain teams that were actually walking in the walk. So we did a paint and sip, and all the money went towards that team for their walk participation. So that was just before COVID, but that was pretty amazing and a lot of fun as well. So Patty, of course, we're talking about the big walk that's happening in October, but that doesn't mean that there's not things happening right here in Berkshire County, right? There's the support groups that people can attend. How can people volunteer or get involved?
Oh, absolutely. So certainly the best spot to find information on the support groups is the Alzheimer's Association website. If you go to our chapter, they certainly have all of that information listed. Or you can follow us on Facebook at Berkshire Alzheimer's Partnership, or reach out to any of us here, and we're happy to share that information. People can come to our meetings. We certainly encourage that. Or as Shauna said, I think that really the walk is the best focus. It's really edifying to see how many people have been touched by this horrific disease. And I'm not sure if it was you, Donna, or Shauna that mentioned, you know, it is not unusual on the day of the walk to see generations. And I certainly hate to keep making it personal, but my dad will be 88. He's been volunteering at the walk for, I don't know. Shauna, how long have they had the walks? Do you even know? Do you know when it started here?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think the Walk to End Alzheimer's was born in like the 1980s. As far as how long it's been in Berkshire County, I'm not actually sure. I've only been with the association for a little over a year.
Yeah, I think you're right, though. I think it started out here in the 80s, because I seem to remember doing it way back when, like right out of high school. But at any rate, my dad still is there and volunteers in honor of his mother. And we were blessed last year to have my grandbaby there. So we had four generations that were honoring my grandmother who passed from that disease. And we're just not the only ones. It's wonderful to see great grandchildren, whole families. But, you know, again, I think it goes back to to the camaraderie. And, you know, the fundraising is incredibly important, as Shauna said, because that those funds, even what we raise through the partnership, which goes to the association, really are to benefit those free services. Because, you know, where on earth can you find something that literally there's no strings attached, they're free, and it provides you with such value and such valuable support. But the Day of the Walk is just the most amazing thing, where you see all those people coming together. You see tears. I mean, Shauna was quite that Promise Garden ceremony. I can start crying thinking about it right now, because yes, it's very touching. It's beautiful. But it's just a wonderful way. And I would encourage people, I've been part of the walk committee for years, and certainly anybody could get in touch with Shauna about participating in that. And it's really just wonderful to see a community come together.
So Shauna, if someone is watching or listening to this today and they're like, I really want to get involved, like I want to help, how do they do that? And what kind of help or volunteer opportunities are available during the walk?
Yeah, absolutely. So we, as Patty was just mentioning, we have a walk planning committee specific to Berkshire County. And so it's all just comprised of volunteers and myself. And so we really work together. We meet monthly. It's just for 1 hour virtually each month. And that just takes place from about March or April till about November. We have our monthly meetings, and we kind of just strategize different ways to get out into the community to just spread the word about the Alzheimer's Association and the Walk to End Alzheimer's, as well as different ways that we can fundraise as well. And then it's also planning all the details of Walk Day itself, which, as you can imagine, is quite an undertaking. It does take a village to do that. So anyone is more than welcome to get involved, you know, at any time and join our committee. You know, if that isn't, you know, your cup of tea, we also have opportunities to volunteer just on the day of the walk itself. So again, it's Saturday, October 5th in Adams at the Visitor Center. And anyone is welcome to, you know, just help out volunteering that day. Many sets of hands make lighter work. So we're always happy to have volunteers get involved as well. Our walk website is actually already active, so you can register for the walk at any time. There is a spot on our walk website where you can also find my contact information if you'd like to reach out to me directly, or just fill out information about an interest in volunteering. So our walk website is act.alz.org. So act.alz.org. And then if you add a / and put Berkshire, that's going to bring you right to our Berkshire County walk.
No, I think it's incredibly important. And one of the reasons I wanted to do the show now, knowing that the walk obviously was in October, was to get people to start thinking about this. And because you really could start now and do a variety of fundraising activities, or, you know, start to raise funds any way you can. So because really the time, right, summer's coming, and next thing you know, we're right into September. I think somewhere along the way, I think May turns into September and I lose a few months. I think, yes. Right? And it does. It just kind of happens. June, July, and August just kind of disappear. And I think that happens for a lot of us, right? The kids are out of school, you know, we're visiting family and friends, we're vacationing, or, you know, if you're still working, your colleagues are taking vacations, so you're working double shifts to cover everybody's hours. So I think June, July, and August just kind of disappear. So it's kind of nice now to kind of talk about this now, so people can sort of have it in their radar for later. Patty, I think this is a great opportunity. Can you give folks again the contact information if they want to talk about the Berkshire Alzheimer's Partnership?
Sure. So you can message us through the Facebook page, Berkshire Alzheimer's Partnership, or feel free to, you can reach out to me directly. I can be reached here at Mount Greylock at 413-499-7186. That's probably the easiest and fastest way to reach out. And we're more than happy to, I'm happy to give you the information. I have these beautiful flyers here that I can certainly send out to people that provide you with information on what we do and our mission and philosophy. So if anybody's interested, certainly you could always reach out to me directly, and I'm happy to send along some information to you.
Is that like a resource guide? Do you have a resource guide?
We do actually have a resource guide. This is just our flyer, but we do have a resource guide that we recently have updated. So we have that as a live document as well.
So what kind of resources would be listed in there if someone needed that?
So basically, we list all types of community resources that are here in the Berkshires to help individuals, whether it's senior centers, adult day health programs, mm-hmm. agencies that service people in their homes, nursing facilities that can care for people, assisted livings. So really the gamut of any type of service organization that might be helpful to someone living or the family caring for someone with dementia.
Which I think is the point I think that's really come out, I hope, during the course of our conversation this morning, ladies, is that this is a disease that does not just affect those who have the diagnosis, that there needs to be resources not only for those folks, but resources also around the folks who are on this journey with them.
Absolutely.
So, Patty, just we have like 4 minutes left. I just want to really touch upon the local Berkshire Partners, Alzheimer's Partnership meetings. So people can come in at any time, they can come attend a meeting. It doesn't matter what their relationship is. Could it be someone who just has an interest in the topic? Maybe their neighbor next door. So
absolutely, absolutely. People don't need to have a tie to it personally. They don't need to have a professional tie to it. It can just be a topic of interest. If someone's interested in, you know, being an advocate for those living with this disease or the caregivers, they're certainly welcome to come and join us. Much like with Shauna said with the walk, it's just a group of volunteers. And if people aren't quite sure, they're always free to give me a call. But really, the partnership meetings are very laid back. We hold them, they're about 1 hour long once a month, and they're really easygoing. It's a great group of individuals, and it's really interesting and wonderful to see all the different ideas that can be brought forward. And so, like Shauna had mentioned, many hands make light work, and it's the same thing with the partnership. Many hands make great ideas. So we really appreciate everyone's input.
No, I think it's true. So in the last minute, I'm going to ask you the big question. So Shauna, what would you like it to look like 5 years from now with this disease?
Yeah, absolutely. I would definitely with enthusiasm say a cure, and for us to have the first survivor of Alzheimer's and of dementia, that's obviously always the end goal. That's what, you know, we're working towards, and hopefully we're definitely getting there soon. But, you know, if a cure isn't 100% in the works, then I just hope that there is more treatment and more medication. And, you know, it is more, you know, even more talked about and just in regular conversation and doctor's offices and healthcare and just around the dinner table. So that's definitely the goal, is just to expand the resources and the support, you know, that are available to everyone in the research too.
And I appreciate your answer. And that's sort of, as I said earlier, that's sort of the umbrella, right? The Alzheimer's Association is that umbrella. So those are exactly what we're looking for at that level. But Patty, here at the local level, do you have a dream program or dream thing or what you would like to see what the Berkshire Alzheimer Partnership would look like 5 years from now?
We really would just like to be able to network so much into the community that we too can be seen as a local resource, aside from the Alzheimer's Association and their wonderful work. We really want to be able to be a group of individuals that anybody can call on at any time for guidance, support, empathy, and compassion.
Yeah, I think that's probably the bigger the picture, right? Locally, it's just to have that community, right? You're building community is what you're doing, Patty.
Yes, we are. And, you know, we see each other, right? You see each other at the store, at church, you know, wherever it is, taking a walk in the park. And so to be able to support people that are on this path and this journey is really what's important.
So what was the last minute, your last thoughts, what would you say to someone right now, Shauna, who has the diagnosis?
I would say reach out. You know, you're not alone and you don't have to go through it alone. There's support, there's resources, help is here, help is coming. So, you know, give us a call. Our helpline again is 1-800-272-3900. It can just be about a question. It can be for information. It can be for support. You know, we're here for you. So let us help you.
And Patty, since you have been a caregiver, what is the one message you would give to someone who's listening today, who's a caregiver?
Have hope.
Wow, that's powerful. And I'm going to end on that because I think that's what this whole conversation was about, is having hope. Ladies, I could not thank you enough for being with me today. It has been an incredibly educational conversation. It's also just really hope has brought hope to folks hearing all of us. I'm going to definitely have you back on again before the walk. It's, you're both in agreement for that, to keep the conversation going. And Shauna, as we hear things happening on the national level, we'll bring that to folks. How's that?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us. This is wonderful.
Patty, thank you too.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank Everyone, you. Thank you so much for being with me this morning on this version of The Morning Drive. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. If you have an opportunity, if you come in and out of the conversation, please, please, please go to pittsfieldtv.org, look up The Morning Drive, and catch this entire show. Until next time, folks, please stay safe, stay well. Bye.